I have seen the gates of purgatory, and the simple inscription written on it reveals not only how to avoid purgatory, but it shows us one of the greatest spiritual teachings that will take us straight into heaven. If you would like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. We can find a very detailed description of the gates of purgatory in the book, The Visions of Saint Francis of Rome. This is a 100-page book that I highly recommend that you buy. You can read it in one sitting. And at the very beginning of the section on purgatory, it shows us the very simple inscriptions on the gates of purgatory. Now, they are written in very simple language so that the proud and the arrogant will pass over them and not see in them the amazing treasures for us to take advantage of. Now, I, in my pride and arrogance, that's exactly what I did. When I first was reading this section and I read, oh my gosh, these are the gates of purgatory, and then this opalescent inscription, I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be so profound and awesome. And I read it and was completely disappointed and passed over it. Only later did the Holy Spirit stir in my mind, go back and read it and see so much treasure for you to behold. Now, let me connect this message to a homily that I heard from a mass from a very wonderful priest nearby that I really love. So his message was on discernment. How can we tell the difference between what God is telling us and what the devil is telling us? And it's very, very simple. The devil always tempts us first with pleasure, and then after the pleasure comes pain. God does the opposite. Almost, if not all the time, he warns us first with the pain. This will be difficult, but there will be great rewards afterwards. God tempts us, so to speak, or he gives us something difficult with a reward afterwards. So the devil, pleasure, then pain. God, pain, then pleasure. Now listen to the inscription and see how there is this twofold pattern repeated three times. Now this threefold repetition corresponds to the three stages of the spiritual life, the purgative, the illuminative, and the unitive stage. And you see that it even develops in the last one. It's like this threefold reward representing heaven and the Trinity and all that God gives us. So let's dive right into it and you will see. After the conclusion of all her various visions of hell, which are described in the chapters above, the saint related that she was then led away to see purgatory. This realm, she testifies, consists of three divisions or levels, lower, middle, and upper. She perceived at the entrance to purgatory a great sign made of shimmering crystal. It bore the following inscription, written in lettering of vibrant, opalescent brilliance. Behold the realm of true purgation. A land of hope, not desolation. Oh, many pains are here for sure, but they will not for long endure. For when its time decreed here ends, each soul from hence God's mercy sends to heaven's kingdom of pure light, to reign in holy love's delight. Now, first of all, you see that it's three sets of two, and the last one has three parts. Now, the first part, it gives us the pain. It tells us this will be difficult. Behold the realm of true purgation. And then it gives us a reward, a land of hope, not desolation, because hell is a place of hopelessness. Then the second one. Oh, many pains are here for sure. Difficulties, challenges. This will not feel good to you, but they will not for long endure, because consolation comes after the desolation. And then this is a final one with one last warning, but a threefold reward. For when its time decreed here ends, the time of purgation, each soul from hence God's mercy sends to heaven's kingdom of pure light, to reign in holy love's delight. The threefold trinity that we experience in purgatory, and those three parts, again, as I said before, corresponding to the three stages of the spiritual life. Now, this is a very simple message, and it is deceptively simple, that if we are to follow the path of God, if we are to avoid purgatory, if we want to go straight into heaven, we must first embrace pain, then pleasure. Think of all the sins that you've committed and all the people that are in hell, and all of the defects and the bad things that you have in your life. Is it not almost always where we first pursue pleasure, take the easiest example that I always like to use, eating unhealthy. We go for the donut. We go for the cookie. We go for the sugar. We go for the fast food. It's easy. It tastes good. Maybe it's cheaper. There's some sort of initial pleasure that it gives, but then it brings pain. You gain weight. You get cancer. You feel terrible. All these awful things are happening in your body. Whereas think of the opposite when eating healthy, let's say eating a salad or something like that. And of course it could taste good, but there's some pain in there. There's pain in eating healthy food. Maybe you don't eat as much food, so you're a little bit hungry. And kind of use that metaphor of first you embrace that pain of cooking the food, making real wholesome food. You spend a little bit more money on it. You do your research more. There's more difficulty in making it. But the payoff, pain at the beginning, reward at the end. You feel better. You don't have cancer. You maybe enjoy this meal. You share this cultural food that takes more time than just something that comes right out of a box. If you look at our entire culture, it is practicing the method of hell. Pleasure first, then pain. Credit card debt, health issues, addiction, issues in marriages, everything that's happening in our country is all about what is easy first, what is pleasurable first, but they don't see the punishment that comes afterward. Whereas think of someone who has a successful life. Think of, for instance, an athlete, someone who sacrifices and works hard and denies themselves all these things. They have all this pain to get this incredible pleasure at the end. They're fit, they're in shape, these achievements. Think of people that earn a lot of money, let's say lawyers and doctors and all these other people, just even from a secular level. They sacrifice so much. They sacrifice and study hard. They maybe don't party. They avoid all these things. They don't take the easy route. They pay a lot of money for college. And then they get this reward that's this incredible payout for the rest of their lives. Think of people who save up for retirement. They're frugal in their spending early on. They don't buy this. They don't buy that. They're embracing all these pains. And then later on, they have the pleasure of this amazing retirement. They're able to enjoy this later part in their life. Even the way that our liturgical calendar is set up, we have 40 days of Lent of intentional suffering and fasting and embracing penances. This pain that leads to the pleasure of Easter. And if you've ever lived a Lent that's just pleasurable or that you don't do anything, Easter feels completely empty. There's absolutely no point to it. We could see also the ultimate sacrifice of, for instance, a martyr, someone who has lived a life of sacrifice. They've lived a life of penance. They've embraced every pain possible, even the pain of a torturous death. They're foregoing all pleasure in this life. Why? Because they want the greatest reward. They don't just want some reward in heaven. They want the greatest reward, and they understand and see that connection. Intense pain here on earth, small price to pay for incredible pleasure in heaven. I would invite you to practice this simple principle in something very small, perhaps at a meal, perhaps in the way that you wake up, perhaps in the way that you pray, perhaps in the way that you treat your children or your husband or your wife, that you embrace first the pain, that you see the pain that you tend to avoid, you acknowledge that you avoid it, and you say, no, this time I'm going to first embrace the pain and trust to God with faith that pleasure will come after it. Perhaps you will bite your tongue in saying something to your wife or to your husband, which will cause you some sort of pain. But you will see the reward of having a better relationship. You will see the reward of maybe actually listening to what they have to say, or of having better dialogue and better connection. Same with your children, perhaps with your boss, perhaps in the way that you eat. You'll feel better the rest of the afternoon because you had a salad instead of French fries and a burger. Do not let this deceptively simple spiritual teaching pass you by. I think it is somewhat ironic that the gates of purgatory show us how to avoid purgatory altogether, skip it, and go to heaven. My friends, I will see you in the next one.